No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Highly Unapologetic, the podcast, and we are happy to bring you part two of the Mother's episode. You ready? Here we go.
But one of my favorite things when my dad was alive and when Kenny was alive, I didn't see it much with Ronnie and Carla just because I wasn't around that much.
Yep.
But I definitely see it with Gigi and Jim and it takes a grown adult to notice it, I think.
Probably.
I definitely did notice it as a kid.
But Different eyes.
How much these couples love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amber and I talked about it one night, how Kenny had longing eyes for Julie. And you could tell it was very visible. The way Gigi was talking about packing a bag for Jim to go out of town the other day when we were at your house and we were talking to Gigi and how she will do that for him. And even
she makes his plate. And she does all kinds of stuff.
And even though she is making snarky comments, probably to your dad,
they all
come with love.
Yeah.
My dad was in the hospital for 9 months straight. He went in for a routine, I believe it was an outpatient surgery, and never left for 9 months, right? My mother put her entire life on hold never missed one day up at the hospital for those 9 months. She was there, you know? And it really took seeing that to go, man, I knew they loved each other.
Right.
But this really cements that. You know what I mean? Like I would watch, and since I've been here in Dallas and going over to Centerville, I could tell just by Kenny's mannerisms how much he loved and appreciated Julie.
Yeah.
You know? And then you get into a friendship and a motherly, sonly relationship with Julie, and you understand why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Julie was everything Ken was not.
Yeah.
Every bit of it. And my mother, same way with my dad.
Same way.
I think that's a dynamic between most spouses that are in those kinds of marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Like they definitely are compatible for a reason, and it's because they fill the voids the other one has.
Right.
I think if you boil down, I didn't mean to interrupt you, I apologize if I did. But you were there at the interment.
At the what?
When we buried dad.
Yes.
The one thing that you probably noticed, my mom didn't want to leave until she saw the dirt piled on him. I thought that was weird.
I don't know if you remember, I walked away.
But
I
stood right beside her.
Yeah.
And I think me and Rinda kind of convinced her he's home. He was home however many days ago. They got this.
Yes.
He's now lowered. He's in good hands.
He has received his reward.
He's in the best hands possible.
Yeah.
And so she sits in his chair a lot, or his spot. And I don't know if you see that, or she sits in the spot where she would hold his hand, right? Or whatever. And the movies or the TV shows that she watches and records, she's looking over at dad and saying, oh, that was silly, or whatever the thing is.
Yeah,
and she's like, I feel weird doing it, and I'm like, do it.
Yeah,
Yeah. Do it.
If that makes you feel better.
You got to get that resolved. Or not. I don't care. It's you're in the privacy of your own home.
Right.
Do it forever. Who cares?
Who's here to judge you?
Right.
One thing I have noticed, to your point, Julie was everything. Ken wasn't. Ken was everything. Julie wasn't. Same thing for Don and Jackie. Yep. But since Dad has been gone, I see so much of my dad now in my mother.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it makes her that much better.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, nah, I'm not going to go into any kind of detail. You know, just I don't want to give away any kind of personal stuff like that. But, you know,
just think of that first piece that got you back put together.
Right.
Think of that first piece. And you don't got to explain what that first piece was.
Yeah.
But that was a Don Walker piece of the puzzle that you needed.
Yeah.
That your mother provided.
Right. And now, you know, it kind of hit me because when he passed, it was I know I can go to my mom, mm-hmm. but my mom wasn't my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad had a knack for, we texted every day. Mm-hmm. We didn't call every day. We spoke on the phone maybe 4 or 5 times a month.
Yeah.
Maybe once a week.
Guys are different.
But we talked,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? And he had a knack of calling me at the perfect times. Like if I'm having a rough week at school, a rough week at work, and my thought while I'm at work where I can't call him right away, my thought is, okay, as soon as I get in the car, I'm going to call this man. But he would always beat me to it. My phone is ringing as I'm walking to my car, and there's my dad. He had a knack for that. My mom is becoming the exact same way. She calls at the perfect moments.
Yep.
And it's everything I've needed since being in Dallas, considering the big picture of everything that's happening with everybody that I'm involved with. Yep. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's even from a distance that she's at, she's in Memphis.
Yep.
It's still a comforting feeling that she has morphed into my dad in that regard. You know what I mean? And I couldn't be more appreciative of it.
Yeah.
I love being around Gigi and Jim because same thing, when they're together, you can absolutely tell that they just love each other.
Yep.
You know, I thought about that a lot when we were at Del Rancho.
Yep.
Del Ranchero. Oh, yeah. I just watched them. I people watch.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? I like watching people. The airport mm-hmm. are my favorite things to people watch. You know, you go to outer space and then you just watch people. And it's and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? I do that with the people I know too. I watch y'all. You may not notice it because I'm not going to stare, but creepy. I'm going to.
Was he standing over us while we were sleeping, or
not while you were sleeping? Never mind. Just kidding. But anyways, while we were having dinner that night, I am mm-hmm. in conversation with you two who are sitting across from me. Daniel is mm-hmm. sitting to the left of you, and we're engaging in conversation. But every once in a while, I'm kind of looking out of the corner of my eye, and those two are in deep conversation. They're in conversation about God knows what.
Yep.
But they are.
He does.
They are talking to each other with their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, while words are coming out of their mouth, the conversation is here. You know, and I love that. And I hope I get to see many more years of that with them. You know what I mean? Because they're a blast to be around. Yeah, I know you do for sure. But yeah, it's moms make the earth go round, the good ones.
They sure do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got a funny story about my mom.
Okay.
This was in the house that you stayed in when you were 20.
Okay.
And I don't know if I told you about this. I don't know if it happened before you got there, while you were there, or after.
Okay.
Because we stayed in there only a few months, maybe a year after you went back to San Antonio.
Okay.
And then bought the house that I'm in now.
Yes.
Well,
I think it was being built while I was
there. No. My mom, we hadn't.
It was definitely in the talks.
Well, the move may have been in the talks, but we bought a house that was built and fell out of contract.
Oh, okay.
So we didn't even go through the conversations of building a house.
Oh, okay.
And this one just kind of fell into their lap in terms of it's built, it's what they wanted, it was the floor plan that they were looking at and everything. It just was in a weird spot where apparently the mailbox gets hit three times every 5 years.
Holy geez, brother.
Yeah. So, anyways, but my mom, she had put on some weight or whatever in her 50s, late 40s. How old am I? How old was she? I was 18, 19, 16. I don't remember. I was in that range. And she goes outside to walk, and I'm going to walk with her. And she takes off running.
Oh.
She takes off running.
Okay.
And the only way that I can really picture or give the picture of how she runs is, have you ever seen the Flintstones when they try to drive their vehicles?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, correct. Uh-huh. Just I mean, feet just trying to move as fast as they can.
And the car barely going.
And the car is not going fast at all. And
well, she's a certified midget, so
she is 5'2".
Yeah. Oh, she's borderline. Okay.
And she had put put on weight or whatever, and she was trying to lose it.
Uh-huh.
And whatever. But I saw her take off, and I was expecting to walk with her. You know, a fast walk, slow walk, I don't care. Get outside, it's hot in Texas, you'll sweat. Sweaty.
Yeah.
And she takes off running. I said, "Stop it." We are outside the house right now. Stop it. Don't ever do that again.
Oh, good.
Anyways, she wasn't in shape or whatever to be running, so that didn't last very long. But she was like, I just wanted to get out here and run a little bit. I said, oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
I said, I've never seen you do that.
Yeah.
And now I know why. You know, okay. Form was off. You know, and it was funny. We had a good laugh about it, but yeah, man, have you ever seen your mother run?
I've never. I don't think so.
Have you ever seen Gigi run?
Maybe like a quick jog after a child.
One for the home team, right there.
Oh yeah,
I have seen my mother run, okay. And it is. I wished cell phones with videos were available then.
Carla, this is not what I brought him here to do.
Well, you said we could laugh at him a little bit.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. Your mom got any funny stories?
Oh.
Give me a good one.
I don't.
I'll tell you a funny story about my mom if you give me one.
It is conditional.
About my mom's. I'll tell it anyway because it's a funny story and it's another one of those things. Like, whose fault was this?
Oh, good.
And it's going to be a.
Yeah. Yours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can think of that immediately comes to my head is she left my brother at a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Like Kansas or Nebraska. Awesome. So we were, my brother and I are middle school. So we're like Paige and Zachary's ages.
Okay.
And we are going up to an Indian reservation in South Dakota, right on the border of South Dakota and Nebraska. Okay. And it's a little mission trip. We're going up there to teach Vacation Bible School on the Indian Reservation with the local congregation. Mm. And it's me, my brother, my mom. We have one of those conversion vans. You know, we're king of the castle when it comes to road trips.
Can I get that in an accent?
King of the castle.
Did you have a
We have conversion van.
So, you know, we had like the TV in there. Yeah. We thought we were bougie when we traveled when we were kids. And anyway.
Very nice. How much?
We're probably 10, 11 hours into this trip. Okay. And we stop at a gas station, middle of nowhere. We all get out, go to the restroom, get snacks, all the things, hop back in the van, start backing out.
Daniel is nowhere to be seen in the van.
No.
It's awesome.
I love it.
We're still backing out. All of a sudden, here comes my brother running out of the restroom because this is one of those where the restrooms, you know, the outside, we have to go and get the key. Comes running out, waving his arms. He's like 12.
I was expecting y'all to be down the road a little bit here.
I wish.
I was hoping.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, you know, mean 13-year-old sister.
Sibling rivalry.
I'll clip this to send to you to send to Daniel.
She just, oh my gosh. And she like pulls back up and Daniel gets in the car. To this day, I'm 40. My brother is 39. He still talks like remember that time you left me at the gas station?
Yes. And she feels so bad about it.
And she will immediately like, oh, that was an accident. I thought you were in the back of the car. It's like, yeah, sure. You thought he was in the back of the car.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's role play real quick, okay?
Okay.
You are going to be, you're going to be me.
Okay.
I will be Jackie. Okay?
Okay.
I left you in the bathroom and we pulled out the road. Now I want you years later to remind me of that.
Hey, Mom, remember that time you just drove away from me at the gas station while I was using the restroom?
Should have pinched it off a little quicker. That's how nice. She would have been, yeah. Yeah. And she's the complete opposite of Gigi.
Yeah, no, Mom oh, felt funny. The mom guilt and, yeah. and all the things, and yeah. and the older we get, the funnier it is, because it was, she took us everywhere. We went to Six Flags all the time with her. We went down to San Antonio. You know, my grandparents lived in San Antonio, so we went down there a lot.
Yeah, we probably ran into each other multiple times.
Likely. And, you know, she took our friends with us everywhere, and she kept up all the time. She takes our kids places all the time, and not once has it ever crossed my mind she's going to leave somebody somewhere, but I know for sure she tried to leave her own biological son somewhere.
That's awesome.
So. I think one of my favorite things about Shelly is her no nonsense about what she expects, wants, and has in mind.
That's all four of the women we've been talking about
and
tonight.
It's usually come filtered either.
Yeah. Well, but here. So, if we're going to Florida, we drive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She drives separate from Jim.
Why?
She wants to get down there. She goes shopping. She takes some of the kids. She gets things set up. Like, she has this.
So she's there like a day.
Some of it started from a standpoint of she didn't always have the size car that she has now.
That's
she
true.
She drove a small little Honda Civic Coupe for a long time, and then she recently got a Honda Pilot with three rows because she carts the kids places and all that, and it's just easier with all their stuff and with the road trips. But yes. But she will drive separate so she can go down 2-3 days before him. She can fly 80 miles an hour down the freeway.
Yep.
My dad is more of a Sunday driver.
So he keeps it
about 5 over the speed limit.
So is Jim driving by himself?
He usually has a kid that goes with him.
Okay.
Yeah. Paige and him are BFFs, as she says, and she likes to road trip with her bestie.
I would love a road trip separately with each of them.
Yeah.
Just it's two different.
Just to talk. No,
it is definitely two different experiences. Yeah.
So, but still, if she's wanting to go do something, and Jim is about to, Jim has the option to go.
Yeah.
Right. If he doesn't want to. Well, if he doesn't make his mind up quick enough,
she's out.
She's just out.
Yeah.
See you later. I'll be back.
I'll be back at this time and that.
And then, you know, we can do something else.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Whatever's on the agenda. But when she makes her mind up to do something,
it's done.
It gets done. And if Jim is waffling or if he's, you know, unsure or not ready,
she's going to make the decision.
She's ready.
So much so to the point where my brother is stationed overseas, has been for, what are we going on, 5 years now? He spent 3 years in Germany from 2020 until 2023, and then now he's in South Korea.
That's right.
I have a niece and nephew. My nephew and James are 6 months apart in age, and then I have a niece that's just a little bit younger than him. And she had been wanting to go see them. And she finally put her foot down and made passport appointments and said, listen, I'm going. You can come too, or you can not. Like, it's up to you. But she booked her flight. She got her passport, all the things. And, yeah, he ended up going. But they didn't go at the same time.
Yeah.
Nice.
Did they go for the same duration?
No.
Yeah.
Mom went for almost an entire month. I think she was there 5 weeks.
Jim was
2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's my point. Some
of that is the nature of my mother's retired. She works part-time, which that's something else I have that's a nice advantage in a way.
She is great.
I get to go to work with my mom 3 days a week.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
I get to see her definitely 3 days a week. And my dad, though, is still working full-time. So for him, some of that is he has to take time off, which he has plenty of time off. He never takes days off. So, like, he has to be forced. You know, whenever we go to Florida, he takes his stuff. He was on conference calls.
At least half the time.
Almost every single day, he had something that he was on.
Right. Gigi's a trip, man.
But, yeah, she's definitely a... You don't want to go? Cool. I'm going by myself.
See you later.
She'll go to the movies by herself. She'll go do whatever it is. She didn't care.
Let me give you...
And if you're wanting to go and you're not ready, okay, well, if you're going to go, meet me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, and I can see it.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm the same way. And there's times where, like, my desire to go do something hasn't fully... collided with my resolve to do it.
Yeah.
Which hers has.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, so, you know, if I want to just simple example, come over here to record. If Lauren's coming with me and she's not ready, my resolve is not to just leave and say, meet me over there.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Gigi's is.
That would be bad news
for
both of us.
Right. So,
no, don't ever do that. I'm not involved. If that happens, just know I had nothing to do with it.
But here's my point.
But at some point, I have to hold myself accountable. I wasn't ready on time.
Oh, good. Right. Yeah. Maturity is.
So, but there's going to come a time where it's like, listen, I'm ready to go. I'll see you there.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I'm going. You're going there too.
Right.
You're not ready. Step we got two cars.
Yeah.
Come on. You know,
we won't start without you.
There's a part of me, though, like, that has that in me too, because there's been a handful of Sundays where everyone's not ready to go, and I get it. We have a tribe of people to get out the door on Sunday mornings.
17 kids on a Sunday morning is tough.
But at the same time, I don't like walking in when service has already started, especially with as full as our church gets. I like to sit in my spot. I own it. I am a little autistic in that sense that I have my spot. I'm Sheldon. This is my spot, and you're in my row, and I don't like it.
There's been times she's taken
three kids. But I have said, okay, whoever's ready, we're leaving.
We'll see you there.
We'll see you there.
I said, all right, like, okay. All right.
And I'll leave him behind to bring the stragglers, because they're okay showing up during the first song or whatever.
That's kind of the difference, too. Like, patience shows its ways in different scenarios just differently.
Right.
She's got patience for me in certain things. I got patience for her in certain things. And then there's times when her impatience shows where mine has to show up.
Right.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just, but you know, when you're ready to go do something, there's going to be a point in time where it's like, if you're not ready, I will see you there.
Right.
That hasn't happened yet.
There's going to be a point in time where those 17 kids look at you. There's going to be a point in time where your kids look at their mother, hopefully. Riley looks at his mother, and they're having the same conversation with their friends about them, you.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope it's a great conversation for them, a good positive conversation, even though, and I will use Paige specifically. I've seen y'all just put boot, you know, BTA is what the kids are calling it now, you know, just put the belt to her.
Yeah.
And my favorite, and I've told y'all this before, my favorite thing about Paige is when y'all get on her, that just slides off her.
Oh yeah.
You know, and she's so great about it, but I hope that carries over into her adult life where like, yeah, they were pretty hard on me, but here I am. You know, great.
We had those conversations about her within the last couple of days.
I was going to say, we've seen a glimmer in just the last couple of days of where she's headed. And like hey, we've been kind of hard on ourselves for a lot of this or questioning a lot of things. And she showed us this little bit of...
Like a glimmer.
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we don't need to be so hard on us and maybe let up a little bit on her, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, probably not.
Well, so here's just a simple situation that I think that you'll appreciate.
Okay.
She's a ninth grade student.
Uh-huh.
No ninth grader should have to choose to do certain electives. Like, if they have space in their schedule... They should be able to do everything they want to do.
Right.
As long as there's space in the schedule.
Right.
There shouldn't be a sponsor or anybody that just says, nah.
Right.
You know? Like, So she made the volleyball team, the freshman volleyball team.
Good for her.
Super excited.
Good. Very yeah. excited.
Give me a schedule.
She hold it. Yeah, let's listen to the rest of the story now.
Oh, good.
She also got into ROTC.
Oh, good.
And just a great character building atmosphere.
And she also knows her career path that she's currently wanting to be on, which is going to take her through the military post-high school.
Yep. And so she makes a volleyball team, and she cannot be on the volleyball team single blocked. She has to be double blocked.
The coaches are requiring that all the girls in volleyball be double blocked in their schedule.
And ROTC is during the same period. And we went through some processes to try to get that to happen, but I don't think that it is.
Right. Yeah. She has a decision to make now.
Well, so Monday we're on a high, right? Yep. Monday we make the team. She makes the team.
Yep.
We're super excited for her. She got to do freshman orientation. She's pumped for her first year of high school.
Right.
Tuesday. She has very first team practice. Okay. Super excited to get there. And the first thing that she gets told before practice even starts. You can't do both.
Yep.
This is the schedule conflict. You have to choose volleyball or ROTC.
Yep.
And then she practices the hour and a half, 2 hour practice Tuesday.
Yep.
Comes home. I have softball with Charlie. I get home later, super excited to hear how her day went, and get met with a defeated face.
Oh, no.
And get told what's happening. Yep. So, of course, like we've talked about our moms, I go mama bear. Oh, no. This is not happening.
Yeah, she was angry. Mama bear was angry.
And I was upset because my child's upset.
Yep.
I'm upset from a coach's mind of...
How can you put this on a kid?
Why would we do this?
Right.
It's not varsity.
Right. We're not varsity. We're freshmen. Right. What are we doing?
Yeah. What is missing the period going to do if you're still practicing after school?
Why are we making an athlete choose between a sport and something like ROTC that is character building, discipline, all of these things that we want our kids right now to be.
It's not like she was going to do culinary or fashion design.
Art.
Right.
Like,
that she could do later. Right?
So has there been a decision made?
Yes. So she made a decision on Tuesday.
That day.
What is she going to do?
And she told us what her decision was, and we said, hold off on telling anybody. We're going to exhaust every possibility before that decision needs to be made, which the deadline was today.
Okay.
And so she knew her decision on Tuesday.
Yep.
We told her we supported it and respected it. Wednesday, she went to practice.
Yep.
She practiced with her team on Wednesday, knowing what her decision was going
to
be.
If she was forced to make
and
that
decision. Today, she let her coach know, I've chosen ROTC.
Yep.
And yeah, it's hard. No, what was she, 14?
No freshman.
She's going to 15. No 14-year-old
should ever have to be through that. Especially for, okay, so once you get into varsity...
Maybe.
If she was varsity, if she's a freshman that made the varsity team, I would 100% agree with the coaches. Like, you need to be double blocked and in there every day.
We are trying to win a state championship, but district championship, whatever.
District championship.
We're a freshman. We're a freshman that could be single blocked very easily, and they have hour and a half to 2 hour practices every day after school already. Like, it blew my mind. But to hear her thought process behind how she got to her decision and everything, that was our glimmer that...
She actually thought about it.
She listens way more than I think we give her credit for. And I'm sure our parents said the same thing about us. Our mothers definitely said the same thing about us. They saw these glimmers and were like, all right, they're going to be an okay adult.
Let me give y'all a glimmer of Jackie Walker growing up with her in high school. Okay. And we'll end with this because we're at an hour and 46 minutes.
Good.
I love it.
Hey, you cannot talk about your mom. Wait, let me sit.
You could
talk about your mom
for hours and hours.
There is never a time where you overtalk your mother.
You brought four of them up.
Listen, I'm in. Yeah. If y'all got the time, I got the space.
We don't have any kids at home. I mean, I got to get up at the crack of dawn and go to work. But
until it all ends. But... eighth grade going into ninth grade. Okay. I have loved baseball since you know. Love football, love basketball, but baseball was always my favorite to play. I didn't necessarily enjoy playing football. I was good at it. I did everything that I accomplished in football, I accomplished on talent alone because I didn't pay attention during film. I didn't lift weights like I should have. And that's why I got a full ride to Churchill High School, right? So everything football was just pure talent alone. I was pretty good at it. I was fortunate enough, and Josh going to this college, my brother Josh going to this college to play football probably aided more into me going there and playing because Josh was an All-American there. So, hey, let's bring Josh's little brother in here, see what he – and I didn't really want to, but I did give it a try, whatever. So, eighth grade going into ninth grade, I wanted to quit football and just kind of focus on baseball. Okay? So I went to my dad first, knowing if I got dad's blessing, mom couldn't do anything. Right? So I had the conversation with Don Walker. And I tell him, hey, listen, I don't enjoy playing football. I don't want to play in high school. I want to quit.
Yep.
And my dad says, if that's what you want to do, okay. He says, but I'm not telling your mother. You are.
Yes.
And so naive to exactly how my mom was at that time, I thought, got dad's blessing.
Yeah.
Is she really going to overrule dad? No.
Submissive.
But she sure did. I went to mom. I said, hey, listen, I talked to dad. I don't want to play football. And she goes, you're playing football. You're not quitting. You're playing. So I said, okay. You know, so she gets her way, of course. And we are playing now. Churchill is in north central San Antonio. We are playing a school called Taft, which is far northwest, almost out of town, right? So we're out there. My mom makes the trip out there. I am on freshman A team. I am playing quarterback. I'm starting. And we are getting beat, I think. And we're in like the third quarter, whatever. I fumble a snap or I fumble and lost the fumble. And I come up out of the pile limping, go straight to the trainers. Sit on the table, trainer's looking at me. I am not paying attention to the stands. I'm not paying attention to the game. I'm just sitting there. I do not want to go back into this game. We're getting beat. It's no fun. I've just fumbled. And then all of a sudden, I feel a grab at my shoulder pads. And I turn around thinking it's one of my buddies. I think it's one of its coaches. No, my mother has come from the bleachers, which were on the opposite end. She walks all the way around the field. And she goes, you're not hurt. You're embarrassed. Put your helmet on and get back in there now. And I looked at her and I went, yes, ma'am. And then got home and heard it again. She, I know you wanted to quit and all this, and you sure are showing it, but you better buckle it up and you're doing this. And do it right. And do it with a good attitude. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And my dad is just going, better listen to her. So that was growing up with Jackie. So then anytime I fumbled, anytime I threw an interception, and this went from that moment up until I think I played linebacker my senior year. So freshman, sophomore, and junior year when I was a quarterback, if I ever made a mistake, threw an interception, fumbled, did something bad, man, I owned it so quick because I knew my mom would hop the gate at the varsity game, walk herself through the cheerleaders down to the so yeah, my mom was hardcore, but again goes to show how much how you should appreciate her, because she was the biggest fan. Yeah, you know, and that's ultimately what it comes down to. She loved watching her kids play football. Yeah. She loved watching her girls play softball and Amy playing basketball. She loved it.
Yeah.
And so you're going to do this for her. And
yeah. Well, and you can't appreciate that until you realize that you have kids that have schedules that conflict, and how many games does she miss? But she tried to make them all.
Right.
Right.
Right. And to your story of figuring out how you're going to play on a Wednesday, my mom did the same thing. We made all-star teams in Pee Wee baseball.
Yep.
And those all-star tournaments started on a Wednesday night, maybe.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so we are locating the closest church to the fields. We're going to make it through. We're going to, you know, okay, we can get to the field. The game starts at 7:45. We're 6 minutes away. We're going to go to church up until that six-minute drive, and you are running onto the field as the game is starting. You know, my parents made, my mom a lot of the time made the sacrifice to make that happen because my dad was teaching a class, so he couldn't go on a Wednesday night.
Right.
So here's mom doing all the driving.
Trying to reinforce the priority.
Reinforce the priority while letting you still have your fun playing your sport.
Correct. I'm going to throw this in, too, about my mom because of my situation and what it was for up until last year, really, is, you know, I was a single mom. I had four kids, active kids that played their sports, all the things, and sometimes it ran into a, hey, somebody's got practice this place, somebody's got practice over here, and so-and-so's got a game. And my mother, without skipping a beat, she was there to pick kids up from school, get them to one practice, be it another meeting or be it this or be it that, because unfortunately, the one thing that moms wish we could do is be in four places at one time.
Right.
And we just can't. But thankfully, we have our own mothers that can then step in and be there and help and all of that. And that's Gigi is quite the blessing when it comes to helping get all 17 children taken care of. When
she is a luxury for sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, your mom being at all of your games. I know my mom was at every softball game, every swim meet. When I was growing up too, played basketball. She was at all the basketball games unless my brother played at the same time I did. And then her and my dad would take turns. Mm-hmm. If mom missed last week, dad went this week and vice versa. Like they made sure they were at all of our stuff.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Your parents are great. I love being around them.
They're pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty okay.
I'll keep them and I'll share them.
Yeah. Yeah, keep sharing them.
So
I think that's something too, and I've seen this float around on social media, and it's one of those, like, the friends you have that treat you like family.
Yeah.
And the their families that then adopt you in.
Oh yeah.
There's something really special there when you go to a friend's family function and you don't feel like you're an outsider.
Right.
You feel like you're the second cousin that, you know, got invited to the big family reunion type deal. Like there's something really special to that.
I will say this about Jackie in regards to me being in Dallas and her giving you all the hugs and me being jealous of you getting all the hugs and your kids being able to get all the hugs that I never got and all this other stuff. In regards to adopting,
you know, she was in outer space.
Or being in the, oh man, you have no idea. but in regards to that, I know there is an appreciation from my mom, and this is why I'm speaking for her, obviously, but the reason why the hugs are given and not turned away to you two specifically is because she knows that you two are one of the biggest reasons that I have started to plant roots in Dallas. You know, the situation here is probably, even though San Antonio is home, the situation in Dallas is much better than any situation that could possibly be happening in San Antonio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Buchanans are a huge part of that. Maybe not all encompassing. I mean, definitely not all encompassing, but what would be? But yeah, I've never heard my mom really talk like this when I was an adult. But when she came in, when you met her the first time, mm-hmm. when she came in for Iris's funeral, I was picking her up from the hotel in Rockwall. We were driving across the bridge to come to the service, and you know, we were just kind of talking about the situation in Dallas, and she says something along the lines of, and mind you, before I say this, let me preface this with, my adult life is not the best. My decision making, my not being faithful at church, you know, has always been an issue with my mother towards me. And the comment was made that you are in a great position here with great people around you. I like the path you're on. And it's a comment or the like that she has never verbalized to me like that before. And it was just kind of like,
huh.
Yeah. I like hearing that, which then in turn makes you, on Sunday morning when you don't want to wake up, you wake up and get in the shower and you get dressed, you get in the car and you go to services. You know what I mean? And it's the validation from mom now. And I wish my dad was here to see it, because the validation from him would be just the ultimate, you know, because, okay, I got mom's. But
I think that's where you're saying she taking over qualities of him,
right,
is valuable.
Yes, absolutely, because my dad died worried about me.
Well, here's the other thing, is that, you know, she's having conversations with Don the way CB's having conversations with Ronnie B.
Oh yeah,
right. So she's already talked to him about this
to
the degree that makes her stay sane, or
right.
check in with reality, or get out of reality. It doesn't really matter, but you know, she's already kind of had that debate with herself.
Now, my mom is a funny woman. I know y'all heard her at Iris's funeral. Okay. She said,
that was funny.
You know, I told Iris to tell Don when she gets up there, hey, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
You know, I just haven't made it up there yet, you know, but I'm on my way, because I know Don's up there going, man, well, guess Jackie didn't make it. You know, so the dark sense of humor is something I really appreciate from her. We could not get her to go to the hospital, or to the hospital. I say to the doctor, just to get a checkup, go get a physical, make sure you're healthy, whatever. Until after he passed, and she finally did, and I thought I made a super funny, but nobody really appreciated it. But I hope y'all enjoy the pun of this punchline that I'm about to tell. But she finally goes to the doctor, gets a checkup, gets a good review, good bill of health. She texts all of us, the kids, and she says, "Well, I just got back from my physical. I'm healthy. I'm never going to get to see your dad again." And my response was, "You'll live." Which, she's healthy, so she's going to kiss us. That's funny.
It's good.
Yeah. Yeah,
but no, it's good.
It went unappreciated.
I bet. How?
But let me show you what
quickly was the timing of this.
Right after. I was the first text.
Yeah, okay. I mean, with your dad passing. Like, how fast?
This was...
Was it a too soon moment?
Is this a month? Is this a year?
I can't remember, but it was...
It was too soon for some people.
It was good enough. Okay, so I think I was the last one to be okay with... Like the making fun of my dad.
Oh yeah.
You know, after he passed, because man, someone said something, and usually I'm kind of involved. I'll react to a text or something in the family group text, but
no one plans for hair loss, but through Hims you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Something was said, and they were kind of laughing at Dad, and I just wasn't ready yet, and I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Completely ignored it. Got a sidebar text from Jackie. You okay? Like, usually,
yeah.
I'm just not ready to call my dad an idiot now, but... Since I've been in Dallas, I know both of you have heard me say, man, my dad was an idiot.
Yeah.
That dude was funny. He's a big old dummy.
Yeah.
You know,
I've had similar conversations with mine.
Yeah.
With you about my dad.
Yeah.
You it's just big goofball.
Yeah. Big old goofball. But the part of the grieving process is you want to keep it serious for a portion.
Yeah.
Sure. But, you know, my mom's dark sense of humor is now very, very much appreciated, you know.
So moms always say stuff that, like, you maybe wish they didn't, or the circumstance is, I don't care, I'm going to say what I want to say.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
So mine, and this is not something that got me back to church, okay? In my 20s or whatever, when I was in college, I wasn't going.
Yeah.
Right? I was doing college kid life or whatever.
Right.
And I was, you know, just wasn't really putting priorities where they needed to be. Well, my mom every now and again would call, and when I did answer, because I didn't not answer her on purpose, but if I was not beside my phone or whatever, she wouldn't leave a message other than, hey, you know, love you, call me back.
Mm-hmm.
But when I did answer, she's like, oh, hey, I just wanted to see if you were still a part of the land of the living.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And I'm like, that's weird. That's weird, Mom. And I'm at, but you appreciate it now.
Yeah, you appreciate it now.
That it's the check. Now, it's a weird way to kind of go about it. I'm like, okay.
I was the same way. I would ignore calls because I knew what was coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? We've been going to church.
Right.
And you didn't have an answer that was going to suffice to the two.
And you didn't want to hear the third degree.
You didn't want to hear the third degree. So rather than lie to them, you just ignored them.
Yeah.
And I regret that 1,000% because it took away conversation time with both of them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? This is a time to, okay, yeah, sure, I wasn't going to church. Give it to me. But after they scold and you basically get in trouble as an adult.
Right.
It leads into a conversation about how's life.
Yeah.
How's it going? You know, and I missed out on that.
Yeah.
And that is I don't have a whole lot of regrets in my life. The poor decisions that I have made in life kind of accentuate my character now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I my struggle now is. And I think I talked to Amy Hope about this one day, is sliding back into a villain role. You know what I mean? I don't want to slide back into that role. But situations come up where you're thinking about, man, it would just be a lot easier if I, you know, cut this person off, cut that person off, you know, don't have this person, you know, to talk to or to reach out to me. Life would be just a lot easier without, you know, this part of my life happening and everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even her response was like, yeah, don't do that. You're much better now than you were then, you know, so don't that villain role, like, let it go.
I just think about how.
But I play a good villain, you know.
Well, I think we all play a good villain.
And we're all going to be villains in someone's version of something. Yes, because not everybody holds themselves accountable to their actions and stuff, and some people live in their delusional world and they need somebody to blame, so you inevitably become the villain in their story.
Yeah.
Just is what it is.
Who are you the villain for? Do you know?
Who am I the villain for?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I know for sure too.
Yeah, who he's the villain to?
Yeah.
Well, she might be a villain too. How does that? Okay,
so here's okay.
Get off Bob's here.
Here's something that I'm
How does double villain work?
Here's what I'm gonna say. I try really hard not to have, not to assign villain to anybody.
Okay. Right.
I try really hard for that.
Okay.
You know, you are who you are. You're going to say what you're going to say. You're going to do what you're going to do. Okay. Like, those are your wrinkles. You know, we talked about this the other day. Maturing is whenever you mind your own wrinkles.
Yeah.
You know? And why am I going to let you occupy part of my story as a villain when it doesn't contribute to the value of the story?
Right.
That role doesn't contribute to it.
To your story specific.
Right.
Yeah.
And in reality, villains don't contribute much to people's story in real life.
Right.
Right.
Villains are truly part of delusional narratives that lies people tell themselves to feel better about their actions because they don't want to own up to what they've done.
Yeah.
That was pointed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it was.
You asked for something deep.
No, absolutely. I love it.
You can't. Here's the thing. You can't have a life that you're proud of, that's worth living, if you're assigning villain roles to everybody, or to a bunch of people.
I think the assignment of villains is okay. It's the letting the villain play a role in how your story is directed. You know what I mean? Like, the villain wants to take you this way. And if you let it, okay, cool, but...
Okay, that's fair.
Like, yeah, okay, fair. So... And that goes to the point of Satan and God. You know what I mean? God, mm-hmm. You know, you can completely disregard Satan.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still there. He's still a villain in your story. You're just not letting him take you over to left field when you're trying to get to right field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So,
but yeah. Oh, man.
But then that... You know, and that's just kind of the thing, is it like allowing... And that's where I say assigning, because you're allowing them to then take a spot in your mind.
You're acknowledging
it. You're letting it take a root somewhere, and it may not be that deep or it may not be that strong, but at the same time, you're giving effort
to them.
To think about them in that capacity. And if you just don't.
Yeah, that drives them nuts.
It drives them nuts, and it gives you so much peace.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. Like, it's not worth the effort to go assigning and figuring out who's the villain, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna try to do what's right in as many circumstances as possible. It's one of the best things I like about the Frozen movies. I did this with my daughters the other day. The second Frozen movie said to do the most right thing.
Yeah.
So wherever you are, whatever the circumstance, whoever the villain is, whatever, do the most right thing in that circumstance to the best of your ability. And we're human.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're going to lie and then lie about the lie whenever we get a phone call that we're not expecting. And we're being told to be held accountable for something that's embarrassing or whatever. Like,
that's the simplest rule when you're growing up that you think is so dumb as a kid. Quit lying to me. There's two big aspects to lying when you're a kid. The first one is, when you lie, you got to come up with another lie to cover that lie. You got to remember the lie before
to
start this lie.
No.
Now you got 17 lies to remember, which you're not going to.
Right.
Yep.
And then the second, of course, being, man, if you tell the truth the first time, you avoid all the lying.
You don't have to remember anything.
You get in trouble one time.
If you tell the truth,
First action, you get in trouble one time and you keep it pushing.
And there's usually less consequence when you tell the truth to begin with than there is if you build lie upon lie upon lie upon lie, because then you have to unravel all the lies.
I know.
To get through everything.
Absolutely. I know Gigi and Jim told you. I know Carla and Ronnie told you. Don and Jackie told us. You're going to get in so much less trouble telling me the truth than you are, because you're going to get in trouble for your actions, and then you're going to get in trouble for the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Or however many lies that it took. You know what I mean?
On top of lying breaks trust.
Well,
and each lie is another link out of that trust chain.
Right.
So I heard this from a Jordan Peterson debate. You know the name Jordan Peterson? Social media therapist, like
maybe if I saw him or heard him.
Okay, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So not only does lying break trust with others, lying creates a delusion within yourself that what it does is it if you go about lying because you can he said you can manipulate the world with your language, and if you stuff yourself full of lies, you're going to be in a crisis one day and you're going to have to choose which way to go.
Right.
And you're going to choose wrong because you're so full of rubbish because you don't know what the right way to go about it is because you've been lying and you've been filling your head with lies that you can't even trust yourself.
Right.
Like, you don't only break trust with others. You break trust internally that you're now lost.
Right.
And you're lost in the lies or you're lost in the lifestyle that's created those lies.
Yeah. I think the worst part about getting older is realizing after the fact. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, as an adult, for the story I told about the box of condoms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, all I had to do was throw them suckers away in the trash. Eat the candy, throw everything else away.
Yep.
And I'm golden. And my mom and I are, you know, but it's hard lessons. It's hard lessons when you're younger that make you fantastic should you change your ways growing up, you know what I mean?
Man, I tell you, oh,
I just wish the brain developed quick enough to understand all of these things and why your parents were so hard on you and mm-hmm. Hard on us and everything as a kid. Nobody knew when we were getting spankings when they said this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you until you spank your kid for the first time and go, dude, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't...
I might be a sociopath.
Huh?
I might be a sociopath. I think that it's so good to do.
To spank your kid?
Needs to happen.
No, it absolutely has to happen.
I didn't feel bad about it.
Oh.
It didn't hurt me more than it hurt them. I wasn't trying to hurt them. I was just trying to teach a lesson.
Right.
Now, my dad bruised my butt to be black and blue one time. Oh, I think I've told you the story.
Yeah.
He told me if my butt was black and blue, I wasn't going to my baseball game.
Yeah,
I run into the bathroom, I pull my britches down, and my whichever butt cheek he hit, maybe both, were as black and blue as they could have been from a handful of spankings. And I pulled my britches up, and it hurt to sit down, but I muscled through it without a wince, and I played my baseball game. And you know, my whole issue is that discipline creates discipline.
Uh-huh.
Like parental discipline creates self-discipline. Mm-hmm. Discipline at school creates self-discipline. It's less effective because it's not being reinforced at home all the time. If you're having to always be disciplined at school, clearly something is going wrong at home. But there is a discipline creates the disciplined. And so if you don't do it, you will feel worse. And if you do, like a fool is the shame of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because the mother should have disciplined and created a fool because of the lack of discipline, likely. Now, some people are who they are, and they're going to be selfish. But like, I didn't feel bad when I did it. But I tell you what, I never spanked a kid as many times in a single spanking session as I got spanked in a single spanking session.
Dude, you're a psycho if it did make you feel bad. I'm just putting that out.
It didn't. Because I did it once or twice.
Uh-huh.
My dad did it 5 to 10 times depending on how mad he was.
Okay.
So like, I never did it out of anger. I did it out of
discipline.
Hey, you're going to get this because you did this. I told you if you did this, you're going to get this. I did it because I fulfilled what I told the kid I was going to do, whatever the situation was.
Right.
I say the kid, my child. Yeah. But my point is I never did anything to the degree that my parents did. And I think that there's a little bit to that. Like, if they got carried away in their anger, then, yeah, then that, you know, they're going to feel bad about that as well. I never got carried away in my anger to my understanding of whenever I have spanked a child. But I've only popped him once or twice. Like I said, never.
You never just went to town.
Just went to town on him.
Well, and same.
You don't need to.
Well, and it was also, too, I know from
maybe my dad needed
I've seen you discipline, like, the boys, it's announced, like, if this continues, this is the consequence.
Right, they knew.
And
they knew
what was coming. Chose to continue. Right. They chose the consequence, and it was all done super calmly. Yeah. Little to no tears. I mean, some.
Yep.
But they understood.
Yeah.
What was happening, why it was happening, and it was swift, like it was over and done.
I think
that's kind of my point.
Yeah, I think what made me feel bad about spanking Riley when he was younger was just the look of betrayal. How could you betray me on his face?
Yeah, you're supposed to be my best friend.
You're supposed to be my friend.
Your parent.
You're supposed to, right.
Again.
I mean, I understand your point, but you're supposed to be the one protecting me, not hurting me, type thing. And so the pouty look on your face, on his cute little face when he was cute,
yeah,
and he's not anymore. He's a handsome devil,
yeah.
but the look on his face of dude,
yeah,
how could you do this to me? And that sucks. My dad bruised me one time. And the look on his face when I showed him,
yeah,
absolutely killed me, because it was a look of horror and how could I do this to my son?
Yeah,
he had a belt. I don't remember. It was a white leather belt, is about that thick, mm-hmm. and he only folded it over once.
Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah,
and he whipped me. And it came around, and it I had a bruise right here because it was coming around and snapping.
Oh yeah,
on my hip.
Yeah,
and I had a bruise for the next few days about like that. But the bruise came like that.
Yeah,
and so I was like, Dad, I don't know what happened. And he was like, Oh my, I did that to you, you know. And just the look of horror on his face. How could I do this to him?
Yeah,
and I know it killed him, which is one reason that, man. I can probably count on my hands how many times I spanked Riley.
Yeah.
You know, y'all know Riley. Riley's a great kid. He didn't deserve a lot of spankings. You could tell that kid, you didn't even have to tell him anything. You just catch his eye.
Yeah.
Oh, and then he would be like,
it's doing it to me.
You know, right. and he knows, okay, I'm messing up right now. But man, you take so many, you know, back to moms, you take so many of their mannerisms when your kid is in trouble.
Yeah.
There was a time when I picked Riley up from school one day, and I had got a call from, it was either his teacher or the vice principal or something, telling me what Riley did, what was said, yada, yada, so I knew everything. And he got in the car, and I looked at him just like this. And he looked at me, and he was like, but he knew. You could see the light bulb go off, and he was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And the first words out of my mouth were, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to know before you answer these questions, I know the answer. I know it happened, so think long and hard mm-hmm. before you tell me the answers.
Yeah.
And it was at that moment I went, I'm Don and Jackie right now. You know what I mean? Because that was their line. I know the answers.
Yeah.
So if you're going to lie to me, make it good.
Yeah.
You know,
entertain me.
Yeah. That's make right. it good, brother. You know, but yeah, that was a life-changing conversation that I had with him, because it was literally my parents like flashing in my head, and I'm going, oh, dude, I've been through this. I know exactly where he's sitting right now.
Yeah.
Sucks to be him. But he sure did. He told the truth, and I was like, I appreciate it.
Well, see, and I think that's also another thing is that, you know, Lauren mentioned that it's been announced.
Yeah.
The discipline gets announced. My discipline when I was a kid didn't really get announced.
It was just a grab me the paddle or grab me the bell.
It was mom told dad, and dad said, come on in. And, you know, put your hands on the bed or whatever, wherever we was at, bend over. And it just, come on.
I saw Don and Jackie and y'all the other night when I was over there.
Okay.
The Pop-Tarts. The ice cream Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
Who's going to fess up? Because you're all in trouble until somebody fesses up.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I'm in the Twilight Zone right now.
Yeah.
I know what's going through every one of their head. And then I think it was Charlie. Brilliant. I think Cameron or Maddie had one. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is genius.
Yeah.
Because are they really going to call Maddie and Cameron and ask them? By the time they come back here, the Pop-Tarts will be forgotten about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, man, that little girl's a genius.
and it was one of those. It very well could have been one of them that took it and whatnot. That wasn't taken into account whenever we initially said something. I will say this, though.
Uh-huh.
Chelsea asked if she could have one a couple days ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, go ahead and get them out, right? She loves them. So she's had, I think the box might be gone now.
Because of her?
And she's had them.
Well, there's a box.
Maybe there's one left. Maybe there's one left.
Oh, I can't stand
it. I mean, there were only four.
Same.
There were only four to begin with.
Okay, let me tell you what the most annoying thing is. The carton of milk with this much in it.
And you've witnessed that at our house, haven't you?
Yeah. I witnessed it growing up. I witnessed it with Riley. I witnessed it with your kids. I'm like, yo, drink. Okay, so pour your glass and do this. I told Riley, just pour your glass.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave this much, just drink it out of the carton, brother, and throw it away.
So I confronted, and to his credit, I confronted James about it. And I brought the milk over to him. I said, did you do this? Did you leave this little bit of milk in here? And he said, yes, sir. I said, don't do that again.
Yeah, just drink it at this point.
Dump it, drink it, or finish the bowl of cereal out. But I don't want to think there's milk in the fridge.
Right.
Get my hopes up for a bowl of cereal and then get disappointed. And there was one time that there was so little milk, but it was just enough to get a little float to the cereal that I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm doing it. And then it was like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and all the milk was gone because it had like absorbed into the cereal or whatever. Still pretty good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, man, annoying as our kids are, man, they are fantastic. And I hope one day they are 20 years down the road when we're gone or we're on our way out, they're having the same conversations about us that we're having right now.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I just hope that's the impact that we leave on our kids' lives.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I see it with y'all in the way you interact and deal with your kids. I think it's going to happen. I hope y'all can say the same for Riley.
Mm-hmm.
I see it with Amy and Brian and their kids. Their kids are going to be great when they're adults. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a super time with Kaysen. But I hope I'm around the whole time to watch it because that kid is awesome. He is a troublemaker.
I think I do this too much, but I have tried. I don't remember my parents doing much of this whenever I was younger.
Uh-huh.
But when I was older, the advice in a difficult situation or whatever,
mm-hmm.
how to analyze a circumstance and make the most out of it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you're going to have some tough stuff going on in your life. You got to be able to get through it.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying, I did it as much as I could with the ages that Maddie, Cameron, and Tara are. And now that I have James, Charlie, Zach, and Paige, I try to do it with them as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, to a degree, when they're in their teens and they look at me and they just kind of roll their eyes, I think that's somewhat to be expected. Like, I know more than you, Dad. You know, what do you have to tell me that I can't learn on the internet?
Right.
Or whatever. You know, I can't learn through YouTube, or I can't learn through InstaChat or whatever they do, right? And then, but I'm like, I got some pretty decent nuggets, I think, of advice. Maybe you should listen. And maybe my parents did when I was younger, and I'm experiencing the same thing I did to them from the kids. Like,
yeah.
I don't do it as much with Charlie and James just because of their age, but I do it with them. I just do it on a different level. Hey, right. Whenever we trust you with something, that means you're going to do it. And if you don't, then we can't trust you. Right. It's real simple, little pieces of things that they need to build on. But with Zach and Paige, Maddie and Cameron, it's more like, hey, whenever there's a problem, what did you do to help create that problem?
Right.
And, you know, those kids think, that age kid thinks that you're pushing the problem back to them as far as, like, blame or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just asking them to reflect. I'm asking them to think about the situation. Is there anything they could have changed about it? Is there a face that they give whenever they roll their eyes, you know, or whatever? Is there something that they did that might have created a reaction from somebody else that maybe if they don't do that next time, it would have been a better outcome?
Right.
Things like that. They're a little deeper because they're about to be in situations on a daily basis, if they haven't already, where they're around a bunch of people that are going to have a bunch of different reactions, and their life can either be really great with their friends and the people that they have influence on or influence them, it can be real bad.
Let me ask you this. Are y'all the type of parents that give trust, and if they deserve to have it taken away, you take it away? Or are you the type to give a little bit of a leash, and if they earn it, they can have a longer leash and longer leash and longer leash?
So I think that you should have trust naturally given.
And then taken away if it needs to be taken away.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
So, and I have this conversation with my students. I said, like, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to trust you that whenever I tell you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
I said, trust should naturally be given in the circumstance. Yeah, I said, I'm not going to trust you to babysit my children, because that's not the circumstance that I know y'all.
Right.
I know you in an educational, here, I'm the teacher, you're the student. So I just met you. I'm going to trust that if I give you something to do, you're going to do it.
Right.
Same thing with kids.
I'll give you a situation that made me think about that. Riley started driving. His buddy, Callan, has been driving quite a bit. And Riley texted me the other night, probably Sunday night maybe, and he says, hey, what do you think of Callan and I driving to College Station, just us two, to an A&M game this year by ourselves?
Okay.
And my initial thought wasn't them getting in trouble. My initial thought was safety.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
My initial thought was like, yeah, absolutely. I want y'all to go do this. Mm-hmm. I would love for y'all to go do this. I want you to start experiencing life
little bits at a time.
Even under your parents' wings, right? Mm-hmm. And so I told him, his mom texted me the next day. I told him, I said, what did your mom say? Mm-hmm. Was my first response. She's like, well, she's going to call you tomorrow. So I had already had a response for her in my mind. And I don't think I was really surprised. Larissa is very level-headed. And her response was the same thing. I think he needs to find an 11 o'clock or a 2 o'clock game to go to. That way the game is over while they're dry, you know, enough time for them to
daylight,
right? Make the 2.5 hour drive home, and they're getting home when there's still daylight.
Yeah. And be responsible enough to not hang out and linger until 10 PM.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so that's what I told him. I said, hey, listen, like, I want you to go.
Yep.
If you need help with the ticket,
holler.
Yeah, you know, I will be more than happy, you know, to if you need a little bit of extra money to purchase the ticket.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The only bad thing about the big schools, you know, the SEC, the Big 12, all of those schools, is they don't come out with game times until 2 weeks prior.
Oh yeah.
To the
yeah.
games. You know what I mean? So this is going to be a last minute type of purchase.
Yeah.
You know, to where, okay, so what game do y'all want to go to? Oh, we want to go to the Alabama game.
There's a couple games usually every year that have a set time. Like Texas, Oklahoma, that's got a set time year.
Absolutely. But to the point of trust, my trust now is Riley is such a good kid. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of like me. I knew, well, his attitude's a little better.
Oh, good.
But I don't worry about him drinking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't worry about him smoking pot. miraculously. My only concern with Riley at this age right now is his mouth.
Okay.
And that's about it. But if what 17-year-old doesn't have a little mouth on him?
Right.
You know what I mean? And that can be fixed. Right. Me at a soccer game. You know what I mean? I mean,
mine didn't really start until I was 18.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's fair. Mine was, I had a little mouth in high school. You know, I definitely had a locker room mouth. But
once it started.
Yeah. And we're still
working. It was hard to rein it in.
You know, we're still working. Yeah. You know, there's a slip up every now and again. I slipped up for the first time in front of my mom not too long ago.
Nice.
And she looked at me and she goes, uh-huh. to the topic of trust, man, it felt kind of good being able to tell him, yeah, let's find a game where y'all can go to where the biggest issue is safety.
Yeah.
Because had I been 17 and I asked my mom that,
yeah,
that'd have been
no.
Yeah.
You are out of your mind if you think I'm going to let you go to College Station with your stupid buddies.
Yeah.
Like this. But, you know, you also have to trust the other kid.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So Riley's thing was when I said we your mother and I want y'all driving in the daylight.
Yeah.
And Riley's counter was, well, I won't be driving. Callan will be driving. And I said that proves that to my point, that exemplifies my point even more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Callan drives.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't know.
That's a long enough drive for anything to happen. And
2.5 hours on the road is long enough for something horrible to happen.
And it's not like that's straight interstate going from San Antonio to College Station.
That is country road.
Right.
That is one lane each way road.
Brings the possibilities higher.
Especially on a game day. And I've made that drive multiple times, especially on a game day getting into College Station.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, every time the past few times I've gone to College Station, I bought tickets that came with a parking pass literally right next to Kyle Field.
Nice.
Riley probably won't have that luxury. So now you run into an issue of parking off campus and having to walk
from who knows where.
Exactly.
And then remember where you parked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's all these things playing in my mind, but in the overall scheme of things, it's, heck yes, I want this kid to go do this.
Right.
I want him to be able to experience this. I want him to prove to me that if he calls me and says, hey, Dad, I want to come up to Dallas, can I hop in the car? Can I come?
Yeah.
Right.
And he hop in his own car to come to Dallas. Yeah. You know, and it not even be a thought of, well, maybe I should come get you one or two more times. You know, but.
With the construction on 35, I mean, you never know.
It's not bad anymore.
Is it?
No, yeah.
I don't know. Our friend moved, so we haven't been down there in a while.
The last time I went down there, Riley and I left at like 4:45, and we made it before 8.
Yeah, I remember that.
Nice.
Well, I was...
Because I remember going, why
are you here right now?
Why are you here already?
We were zooming. But so Riley... I looked at Riley's location, and I don't do it ever, but I saw that he was in Converse one day, and I was like, oh, maybe he's at Callan's, because Callan lives kind of over toward that area, so I looked. But then all of a sudden, it went from Converse to San Antonio. I was like, man, what's this kid doing? So I texted him, but he didn't answer me for like an hour, and I was like, dude, what are you doing? He was like, oh, man, we're driving to South Padre. He said, I was driving to South Padre. He was with his mom and stepdad. Okay. And he said the exact same thing. He goes, Dad, I was zooming, so I couldn't talk. I'm like, yes, that's this funny. Kid has turned it into me. But
so I think, so not to belabor the point or anything, but you asked about trust. I think that everything that we have that we can give like that should be given first.
I do too.
Respect, love, patience, trust, all those things
should
be offered before they're lost, like to be
and
lost.
When they get lost. Because that's happened. Like, teach them how the steps they have to go through to earn back
exactly
the trust that they've lost.
That's exactly what I was about to say. You have to give them a path to get it back.
Yeah. Because if you just snap it away and you don't show them how to get back to where they were or close to where they were. Like, you're failing as a parent.
They're going to be in their mid 30s and not know what it takes to get it back.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Until they go through it the hard way.
No, you definitely do them a disservice by not giving them the path back. Yeah. You know what I mean? But as parents, when you're talking about trust and the trust is taken away, you got to be open-minded not to nitpick
at little hard. Things.
And it's very hard.
That's difficult. Absolutely.
And I think that was one thing. I'm not gonna say that this is something that my mom did, but it may have been something that I felt she did, where maybe I did something and yeah, it was wrong, but it's not that serious.
Yeah.
But since I did the things that I did before, I understand why she's looking at me through the fine tooth comb. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little story about what happened with Paige last night.
Uh-huh.
We were playing Monopoly.
Okay.
And it got to the point where it was just me, Maddie, Cameron, and Paige. And Lo was playing and Zach was playing.
Okay.
So we had all six pieces on the board. And it got a little chaotic for a little bit. And then finally a couple people got bankrupt or whatever. Well, Paige was doing the best at early on. And she was doing all kinds of deals that she could do in order to bolster her property values and all the things. And then tables kind of started turning a little bit, and she started finding herself without money. She was landing on properties every single roll, and Cameron got up to get the dice or something. I don't know what she did, but they were sitting beside each other. And Paige reaches over and starts to fold up a $500 bill from Cameron's thing. And then Cameron's like kind of leans back to her seat or whatever, and she lets go of it and puts it down. And I looked at Paige and I said, "Don't do that." I said, "I know this is fake. I know this is just a game. But if you think about it, this is about money management. This is about a situation where if you are in dire straits with money, you just resorted to stealing money from somebody."
Right.
I said, "What you do when it doesn't matter often echoes whenever it does." Mark that down.
One of the biggest life lessons for a kid is how you handle situation when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Integrity is a big one.
Yeah. Integrity is huge to me.
Yep.
You know, how you treat me to my face and how you treat me when you're around somebody that you may not know me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to get back to me.
Yep.
You know, and then all of a sudden, I don't trust you.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a day where they don't think you're around.
Right.
And then you are, and you're either going to be pleasantly surprised or you're going to be kind of heartbroken.
Again, two mothers. Mothers know every single thing. The things my mom would tell me that I did not think she knew blew my mind. Mm-hmm. Moms find out everything.
Yeah. You know, God gave us this little gift of intuition and a gut that tells us a lot of times what is and isn't.
God gave mothers the gift of intuition and also the reaching out to other people to find out without being embarrassed, without being you know, "I'm going to find out." Yeah. So I'm going to call this person, and where dads are going to go like, "Okay, I might take your word for it."
And it boils down to that protection.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that mothers are the way that they are. And they are, from the time they find out they have a baby in womb,
yeah,
they become very protective of said child.
Dads are going to believe you because they actually want you to experience a little bit of the trauma or pain of not doing what you should have done, and there's a consequence.
Right.
They want you to be able to work through that.
The videos that I see online about this is why women live longer than men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's, oh, yeah.
That's
funny.
It's a true thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, anyways, we're coming on like 3 hours.
Oh.
So, nice. Yeah. We did good, man.
High five.
I love this. I could do this every week.
You know, when you told us that we weren't going to talk about baseball tonight,
you didn't think
in our group text,
long?
I was like,
"Why am I even
coming? No, not that. But it was like, well, what are we going to talk about? And I told Josh, you know, we had meet the teacher before we came over. And I asked him, I'm like, did Adam tell you anything about what we might be talking about? Because if we're not talking about baseball, I mean, what are we going to talk about? All the three of us ever talk about, everything comes back to baseball.
Yeah.
Or it starts with baseball.
Yeah.
And this was good.
No, I like it. I, you know.
Okay. Truth telling time. He did tell me mothers. But
don't look at me.
He did tell
why
me.
Why are you? Why did
about,
you?
Why about did 5 hours ago?
It's cool if y'all want to leave me out of the group text and have your little backdoor text. That's fine.
So, but
that's
here's,
fine.
But here's
it's cool. The,
here's how it. Here's how.
Here's
it.
Here's here is in my defense, which I there's no real defense. I wanted a genuine reaction to the thing, and he had talked about another podcast or another situation circumstance where one person comes to the table not knowing anything about what they're going to talk about and the other person coming fully loaded.
It's the podcast that I sent y'all about the Rube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The premise of that is one guy does all the research and he tells the story. The other guy is free balling. Yeah. He has no idea what the topic is
Until
they hit record.
Okay. You know okay. I mean? Yeah. So yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I may, you know, I may switch it up next time. Y'all can switch it up with me if you want to. If y'all want, hey, we got a topic, but you can't know until.
But I wanted to create that illusion.
Right.
Okay. So fair enough.
I said, don't tell her. I'm not going to tell her.
Right. But it happened like this.
How it works.
He already knew I wanted to get into a deep conversation, and this dude goes, what are we going to talk about tonight? And I said, I don't know. And then he sends me men in joggers.
Pants.
And so I sent him back. I was like, that's not deep, dude.
Okay. But I did give him a deep quote right after that.
I did.
And this was off the dome, and I don't think anybody else can claim it. But he said, that's not deep. And I said, well, you got to walk through the shallows to get to the deep end.
And what was my response to that?
I don't know. I said, now that's deep.
My podcast stays in the shallow end,
right,
brother.
That's right.
But yeah, maybe once a month we can step away from baseball and everything and do
like
a three-hour
it.
Deep podcast. Because I do enjoy talking like this.
Yeah.
And I have been told recently that they do enjoy listening to me get deep.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Anytime I can please the fan.
Yeah.
It wasn't Riley though. Riley's our one fan that like texts me, hey, when's the next epi coming out?
Nice.
You know. So but anyways, yeah, I might split this up into two, a part one and a part two. Just to be able to get two episodes out of it and more money because I get paid for the podcast that I do.
Hey, no.
Yeah, I get so when you listen to my podcast and it starts out with ads.
Yeah.
It's a good cash cow.
Yeah.
It is
a cash cow. It's anywhere from like $50 to $75 a month.
Nice.
That they pay me for that. Yeah. And I get to pick where the ads go and everything. So split this up in two. That's two ad revenues.
Mark that down.
Just one. Boom. Yeah. But anyways, y'all like, subscribe, and share, and
yeah,
we'll catch y'all next time. Oh, thanks, Chip. I hate it when y'all do that.
Do it, lady.